Now, a number of high-profile athletes have volunteered to donate their brains to medical science after they die, allowing experts to research the effects of concussion. Now, we're only just starting to understand what happens to the brain after repeated knocks. Boxing legend Jeff Fenwick was one of the first to sign up for the research. Jeff says he regularly speaks with people, makes appointments, and then forgets who he spoke with and what was discussed, all in a matter of moments. Well, one journalist is investigating the other side of boxing. Stephanie Convery has written about the death of Sydney boxer Davey Brown. Davey died in 2015 after being knocked out in the final round of a title fight he was about to win. Stephanie's new book, After the Count, is written from a very unique perspective because at the time of Davey's death, Stephanie was training to fight in a boxing match of her own. She joins me now. Good morning, Stephanie.
Morning, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, take us back to that fateful night. 2015 it was, Ingleburn RSL. What happened?
So there's a rowdy crowd. It's a long fight, 12 rounds. Anybody who's ever fought one round would know how hard that is. Now, Davey was winning the first five rounds of the fight. He was out in front. He had a bit of a knock in the sixth that a lot of people remembered as him falling over. He didn't do that. He kind of wobbled a bit, though, and he didn't win that round. But then he kind of came back, was fighting on really hard until the 11th round. And in the 11th round, he was knocked down twice. So that was a bit tough. So he wasn't looking great. He stumbled back to his corner. And then he was late coming out for the 12th round. And by the time he finally came out, he could barely defend himself. He barely threw a punch. And his opponent came in really hard and knocked him out.
Has the boxing world changed from that death, from Davey's death?
Look, it depends on who you talk to. On a structural level, not very much at all. So there were a number of recommendations made by the coroner who investigated Davey's death a couple of years later. And a lot of them involved things about educating the people involved in the sport about concussion. So not just the officials involved in the sport, but the participants as well. So people who play the sport. Mm. None of those things have been taken structurally on board by the sport. The law has not changed in any respect about mandatory education in that respect. There have been some tweaks to the law around first aid requirements and emergency evacuation procedures with regards to boxing matches, but nothing major, and certainly nothing that would have changed the outcome of that fight, saved Davey's life.
You've spoken with a number of football players too, including members of my Rabbitohs. What have they told you about head knocks?
Well, one of the people that I spoke to who was very candid with me was Ian Roberts, and he told me that he deals with brain injury as a consequence of his playing days every day. It's another part of his mental health management. And it is really interesting when you talk to sports people who have played contact sport at such a high level, because what they tend to say is that they wouldn't have changed the actual playing. They would have gone out and played their sport because they loved it and there was a drive that they had to do it. But they might have been more careful and they might have managed head knocks more carefully as a consequence, yeah, if they knew then what they know now.
See, I don't understand why the AFL doesn't have a substitutional replacement rule for concussed players where the NRL does. So does Rugby Australia. The AFL need to come on board, don't they?
I think all sports need to come on board with this, and I think it needs to go from the highest, most elite level all the way down to the grassroots of the sport. So all the way down to kids playing on a Saturday morning, you know, it's a really important issue. And if we don't really come to terms with it properly and we don't have proper structures in place to help people, you know, to sub people off, to sub people on, to make sure that people are still part of the team while also managing this very, very difficult issue, then we're not going to solve it.
Did writing this book, After the Count, dissuade you from continuing your idea to take up boxing?
Look, it really did rattle me a lot. So I never made it to a formal amateur fight. I did have a couple of gym, like, club fights. So, you know, low level, nothing. I was never an elite in the sport. But it is very difficult to go back into the gym and to have somebody try to punch you in the head when you know what that does to somebody. And also when you've dealt with the nitty-gritty details of somebody dying in the sport.
Well, you attended the inquest into his death and spent hours with his widow and dad, right?
That's right.
Yeah, that must have been tough.
I mean, it is. And this is the other thing. It's not just Davey Davey's death didn't just affect Davey. It affected so many people around him. He had two young sons a really lovely wife. His father was absolutely destroyed by his death, as were other members of his family and friends. And it really had these ripple effects across the community worldwide. And it's community Sydney wide. The boxing community in Sydney has felt this.
Yeah.
Whether they have changed their practices as a consequence of it to save other people, it's not entirely clear.
No. Stephanie, all the very best with the book, and it's come at a very timely moment, and thank you very much for your time this morning.
Thank you, Chris. I really appreciate you having me on.